We've come to the end of our series, Even So Come, and this has been something which has been on my heart. I hope you really have enjoyed this season and enjoyed this series as we've looked at it. And perhaps there is no better place that we could finish a series about the second coming of Jesus, perhaps no more appropriate place that we could finish this series than on the massive topic that is heaven. Heaven must be there. It's just got to be there. However, I've never seen, anyone know? Someone said it, Eden. I've never seen Eden. Who knows the band? Close, really close. No, it's not Eurythmics. It's Eurogliders. Come on, guys. Look it up, Google it. Tell me I'm wrong. I'm right. Heaven, it's never, there is a song with such beautiful truth. I've never seen Eden, but I've got to get out of this place. The angels sang it as well. We've got to get out of this place. We've got to escape. We've got to go to heaven. Anyone else know a song, a popular song with the word heaven in the title? Come on, there's thousands. Sing it out. Say again? Slice of Heaven. Dave Dobbin? Anyone else? Tears in Heaven. Eric Clapton? Stairway to Heaven. Who wrote that? Led Zeppelin. Knocking on Heaven's Door. Who wrote that? Bet you don't know. Bob Dylan. Spot on. Guns N' Roses made it popular. So many songs about heaven, right, in popular culture. Because in your heart, you have a desire for something that is better and a better place than what you have right now. You have an aching and a belief that there must be a better day. There must be grass that is greener on the other side. Heaven must be there. It's just got to be there. Because if this is all there is, and who are we? And what are we doing? Jesus is returning and coming back to take you to heaven. He's coming back. He's returning. And he will take you to be with him in heaven. I've got a scripture, the main scripture we're going to look at this morning from Romans chapter 8. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal. This is an ouch moment right here. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. At the very start of this series, I asked Lois to paint me a picture representing eternity, and she has done an amazing job of the swirl of time and space. And if you were here a few weeks ago, you may have heard the analogy of God actually standing outside of time and space and yet interacting with it, painting, touching, seeing what's here, and then at various times in history, actually entering into our reality, Jesus Christ, the very first coming. Why did he need to come? He needed to come because the world is broken. The first slide, thanks, Clem. The world we live in has been deeply affected by sin. The world that you live in has been deeply affected from the very beginning of time when Adam and Eve said to God, we are independent upon you, we will do our own thing, and we want to know. And they disobeyed God. From that point on, not only their lives, where God said, you will suffer death, but the whole of the world suffers under the weight of that decision that they made. And Romans makes it really clear that even creation has been affected by sin. And I could have picked 17, 18 different ways in which your life has been affected by that very first disobedient act of Adam and Eve. I could have picked 27 points. I've just picked 5 this morning. Firstly, sickness. Prior to the fall, there was no COVID, there was no cancer, there was no disease, there was no depression, there was no aches and pains, there was no groaning, there was no getting older, there was no sore hips, there was no sore backs when you play squash, you idiot. There was no decay. How depressing is it when you realize you can no longer do that thing you used to do? You can no longer lift that weight you used to lift without straining. Every single person in this room is constrained by time, and time is your enemy. Death came through that very first act. Disappointment. How many of you could tell me about things that you thought you'd have by now or you thought you would have gotten and yet life has let you down? How many people can say, I thought this was how it would work out. I thought it would work out well, but it hasn't. This is not how I thought my life would be. Disappointment in how and in what you have and what you don't have. It's part of your life. In fact, it's part of everyone's life because of that very first sin. Racism, and I could have picked any other ism that I wanted to pick, but racism, astounding, incredulous, unbelievable, that as the human race, made in the image of God, every single child bearing the image of God upon them, a child of God, a daughter of God, a son of God, every single baby ever born in any place, any nation, any tongue, any ethnic grouping, as they stand before God, they stand before God equally made in his image. And yet we look at the color of someone's skin and we say, you are less than. And we say, you don't fit in. And we say, you don't get this that other people get. And we do it subtly. We do it shouting it aloud. We make it obvious. We make it less than obvious. Someone walks down the street and instantly they are judged by the color of their skin. This is not how God intended the world to be. It's not what he wanted for society. There were two people, Adam and Eve. And from those people, every single nation, tribe, tongue came. And yet we divide. And we live in a world that is increasingly divided. Selfishness. We live in a world that is bountiful, that has a harvest. The seasons come, the seasons go. And as you look around the world and you see, we have become incredibly clever at growing food, making food, transporting food. There is so much food in the world. How much food goes to waste? What do we throw out as human beings in our greed? And yet there are those that suffer and those that die. Because we as a human race have allowed our selfishness to determine that some will get and some will not get. This is not how it was meant to be. In the garden, go eat freely of anything you see. Walk around. You will eat that which you have not planted. that which you have not grown or worked towards will sustain you. Eat of any tree, of any fruit in the garden that you see. And yet, after the sin, the curse, you will work the ground. And the selfishness of the human race continues, perpetuates. Natural disasters. One time there was a person that came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, there's been a terrible disaster where a tower has fallen on a group of people and some of those people have died. And they said to Jesus, who sinned that that would occur? Whose fault was it that that tower fell on that group of people? And Jesus says it was actually no one's fault. No one sinned. There was no sin that led to that. Have you ever been affected by just natural disasters that occur? Because even the world and the creation that you live in is affected by sin and has been affected by sin. We do not live in a perfect world. There are earthquakes, there are floods, there are hurricanes, there are all manner of natural disasters that occur and which people who are innocent people suffer because of that original sin. This is the world we live in. Anyone need a hug? I'm not a hugger. Jesus is coming so you can be in heaven with him. Jesus came so you could be in heaven and be with him. John 14:1-6, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Listen to this. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and I will get you. I will come and I will get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. No, we don't, Lord, Thomas said. Mate, do a study on Thomas. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, heaven is our home. Heaven is our destiny. But more than that, the evocative language that Jesus uses in this piece of scripture, that he would describe where you will go when he comes back, you will go to be home. You don't actually belong here. This is not where you belong. It's why there is a disquiet in every single human being. We don't belong here. This is not our home. This is not how it was meant to be. Heaven is your home. If you love the Lord Jesus, inside of you is a desire that you would be with him. And there is more than enough room for us all. What did I talk about last week? There's going to be no jealousy. Jealousy doesn't exist in heaven. No jealousy over who's got a bigger mansion and who's got a shack. I'll have a shack. I'm happy for a shack with an ocean view. Be nice. There is a home and a place for you. And some people feel, I don't deserve that. Well, you're dead right, you don't. You don't deserve it. But Jesus is coming back to take you to be with him in heaven. What does heaven do for us? Four things this morning. Heaven reverses the curse. There is a curse of sin upon creation. Heaven will actually reverse that curse. There will be no natural disasters. There will be no hurricanes, no earthquakes. There will be nothing to be afraid of, worried, or concerned about. Won't that be awesome? Won't that be wonderful? Heaven reverses the curse. What was the curse? The curse was death. Heaven reverses that curse. We have eternal life in heaven. We live forever with Jesus. Your life that has begun when you said yes to Jesus for the very first time, you have now received, you have inherited, you have gained eternal life. Death is no longer anything that has mastery or control over you, because heaven is your destiny. The curse is reversed. Worship time in heaven will be awesome. Oh, I love this so much. Let me just sit on this for a moment, because this is one of my particular favorites. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Let's think and let's say racism has no place in heaven. Let's say the reverse. Let's say that in heaven, every single tribe, every tongue, every nation will be celebrated, because they will all bring something to heaven. Don't think for one moment that you will still not be a person and have your personality. It's not forgotten. It's not gone. You'll forget sin. You'll forget death. But the best parts of your personality, the nation's personality, the ethnic group's personality, the best bits, the bit that God says, look at my children. I'm not going to name names, but this tribe does it really well. This tribe does it really soulfully. This tribe does it this way. Can you imagine the worship in heaven? Every tribe, every tongue, every nation will all bring what is special to them, and they will bring it to heaven. It will not be monochrome. It will not be one type or one style. It'll be every single style. Every single type will be there bringing what is the best of them to the worship in heaven. And if you think it's angels on clouds with harps that is boring, you have no idea what it will actually be like. It will be amazing. Oh, Mark's going to finish in 10 minutes. That's not what it's going to be like in heaven. You'll be sitting there and you'll be going on saying, this is the best place. I don't want to leave this ever. And you won't have to leave that forever. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation will be there. You'll experience wonderful community. You'll experience your friends. You'll experience forgiveness. There'll be no bitterness, nothing held against another person. And you will recognize people. That is clear from the indications of Scripture. How did Peter recognize those two men that came down at the Transfiguration? How did he know their names? He just knew. You will know people. You will know their names. You will know who they are. But not only that, you will still have your personality. You will still be you. And you'll be able to go up and you'll be able to say to the Apostle Paul, what was the thorn in your flesh? Spill the beans, Paul, because I really wanted to know. And when you said in 2 Corinthians, you know, Paul went to, I'm on a tangent. When Paul went in 2 Corinthians and he said, I went up to the third heaven. He went up to heaven. And then he says, I were not legally allowed to tell you what it was like. I'm like, why not? Tell us, Paul, what was going on. When you get to heaven, you'll be able to answer those questions of the people that are there, and you will experience the best food, wine, creativity, purpose, life, health, joy, indescribable life. Heaven in the Scriptures is really indescribable, but from what is there, you will have purpose. You will have creativity. You'll be building things. You'll be making things. That project that you never, you think I'm being funny? I'm not. That project that you never finished on earth, you will be able to do with great joy and skill in heaven. It will not be boring. It will be incredible. You will have time. You will have purpose. You will have enjoyment. You will be you. So what do? We long for that time. But do we escape? No, we don't. Third point, how do we get ready? Because your life right now is actually a preparation for heaven. Heaven must be there. You long for it. You want it to come. You want the end. But your life right now is preparation for heaven. Tilt, as I said at the very start, let's lean in. Let's lean towards Jesus returning. Let's lean towards this glorious future that we have. Let's consider what we are to do with the time that we have right now. I've got some things up there that are what we should do. What are you going to do now with the time you have left? You're going to hope and you're going to build for a better day now. I want to make it really clear. The new heavens and the new earth recreated, yes. But actually, we should be bringing heaven to earth. We should actually be making earth as much like heaven as what is in our power now. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where we see something that is unjust, we should seek to bring justice. Where we see something that is being destroyed, manipulated, exploited, we should seek to reverse that. We should not live as though we're under the curse of sin. We should live as though our destiny is in heaven. We should make and create and hope and build for a better day now. There are people that need us to be Christians on earth. We enjoy moments which are heaven on earth. There's an old preacher, his name is Jonathan Edwards, and he wrote his most famous sermon, is Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And Jonathan Edwards was a monotone preacher. So he would stand there behind the big old wooden pulpit, peering down upon the congregation, and he would read from a manuscript, and he would read in a monotone voice like this. And as he read his sermons, particularly that one, the people in the congregation would have a charismatic experience. In fact, when he preached the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of Angry God, people were actually literally falling off their seats because he was talking about hell and the destiny of man, and they were so worried or fearful or whatever it was, they just were falling off their seats. He gave this phrase, which I love, talking of you and me as believers. They sometimes in this world have the actual enjoyment of peace and pleasure that are most excellent. Sometimes the clouds that are in the way are removed, and Christians are enabled to behold the ground they have for rejoicing. Though God's glory and love be often hid from them, as it were with a veil, or at least so as to hinder a clear view of it, yet God sometimes is pleased to remove the veil, to draw the curtain, and to give the saints sweet visions. Sometimes there is, as it were, a window open in heaven, and Christ shows himself through the lattice. They have sometimes a beam of sweet light breaking forth above into the soul, and God and the Redeemer sometimes come to them and make friendly visits to them and manifest themselves to them. I wonder if you could say you've had moments on earth that are like moments you imagine heaven will be like. I wonder if you've been sitting on the beach. I wonder if you've been with family and friends, looking around the table, thinking, this is what heaven will be like. I wonder if you've been reading a scripture and you're struck once again by the love that God has for you. I wonder if you've been singing a song in church and the people have sung and their voices have lifted and you've thought, this is good to be here. Those are moments of heaven on earth. And heaven will be like that. It will not be that far removed from what you experience here that you could not appreciate it. There will be and there are moments where we stop, we reflect and we say, it is good to be here. Have those moments where you stop and you reflect and you say, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad. We invite people to heaven. There are more than enough rooms for every soul. And our job and our task, your job, your role, is to share the good news about Jesus and to invite as many people to heaven as you can, because you don't want them to miss out. You actually believe in it and you want to invite them to come. There is no rooms in heaven where there's a group of people sitting quietly, thinking they're the only ones there. Everyone is invited. Every single soul, every single person that's ever been on earth is invited. And it's our role, it's your role to invite people to heaven. Finally, become more like Jesus. Become more like Jesus. There'll be less time having to become more like him in heaven if you start now. Be kind, be gracious, be loving. Be all you can be. Be more like Jesus. Get yourself ready. He is coming again. That is a very confronting point. He is returning. And as a church, our heart's desire, your heart's desire, is that you would be ready. Jess is going to play for us a song. It's a song you know. It's a song we've been singing this month. But I've asked her just to sing this, just as a moment of reflection. In fact, I'm going to make it a challenge for you. As she's singing this song, maybe you could think of one way for yourself that you want to be more like Jesus, ready for when he returns. And once you've done that, then I want you to think of one name you can invite to heaven. As she's singing, just reflect on those two things. God, how do you want me to be more like you? God, who do I invite? It's really important for you personally that if you've never accepted Jesus into your life, if you've never accepted the truth about Jesus, it's really important that you do that, because he is Lord, he is Creator, he's the one who gives sense to this world. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, this is an opportunity right now to do that. So I'm going to pray, and you can echo the words that I pray in your own heart. Invite Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I've heard this morning that you are returning, and I believe it. Dear Lord Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to know your holy presence in my heart. I want to know it's true, and I want to live my life for you. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. Help me now to live for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone once asked me if it's that easy to become a Christian. It wasn't easy for Jesus, but he doesn't make it difficult for you. You just need to ask. If you've sought the Lord for someone's name that you want to invite to heaven, I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, right now I pray for all the names that have been brought before your attention now. Lord, we want to see those people in heaven worshiping and praising you. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you will give us the courage to speak to them, to invite them. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would work in their lives and in their heart that they might say yes to you. I pray also, Lord, that we will become more like you. In whatever aspect your Holy Spirit puts his finger on, Lord God, may we respond with grace and humility. Lord Jesus, when we see you, we will not shirk back. We'll run to you, we'll fall down upon our knees like everyone else. Lord, we look forward to that day you return.